Because of audio mode, double figures now for me, day 10. Applause, much welcome, and necessary as we got to Audio Mo Day 10. I have a guest with me today. You've heard her in the background a couple of times on our Audio Mo journey already. You're going to be hearing more from her in a minute. So I have Claire coming up on this Audio Mo Day 10. Because it's coming up to 10 years since she had her heart, initial heart condition, and then talks to us about her journey. I nearly said transplant. talks to us about her journey. And I don't think there's much more to say, really, other than to get her started with the conversation we recorded on location. We did. Outside on location while having food and something to drink. I think there may be two or three parts of this, but let's get part one done first, and then I'll decide whether we need to split the second part up into two. And if you have any comments or questions, you can leave them wherever you can. Leave comments wherever you see our content, really. And I'm sure Claire will decide whether she can answer them, or depending on what they are, obviously. But yes, questions can be answered. I'll speak to you in a bit. And here's the first part. Oh, I'm here. So we're with Claire, she's on air. Claire's on air.
Claire's on air.
We're just outside. In...
You should have done it with two microphones. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. I've got the phone so that you should be going across one side and I the other.
Oh, okay.
So we're in Orpington High Street in Pato Lounge, or outside Pato Lounge. And we're going to spend 5 minutes. Claire might have to even time it because we've got a bus. But Claire's decided that she'd like to tell you, because I asked her if she might think about it, her story, which is rather heartfelt, I think. would be fair to say.
I put that on my didn't I?
So in 20, we're in 2026 now, and in October, September, the end of September, 2016, Claire had some events that happened, and she's going to tell us about those with probably minimal thing for me, because she's so used to telling the story. And she probably will tell it in a bigger way somehow, but she's still thinking about that. So for Claire,
yeah,
speak.
So the flu, 2016. I think we all had the flu actually, didn't we?
Yeah, I had it before.
You had it. I had it. My sister had it.
I felt rough.
I can't remember. I felt rough.
Feeling really, yeah, well.
And everybody was feeling ill, and so nobody thought anything of it. And of course, I was the last to catch it, which meant I was the last to recover, and I was just not getting better. And then one morning I woke up and I thought, God, I feel rough. And my benchmark was always, could I get up and get Nathan to school? And this day I said to Nathan, can you get dressed and, you know, get out the door?
But he was not that young, old.
He was 13. And then he went to school and I felt rougher and rougher. Basically spent the morning in bed, went and had a bath, got out the bath. And I knew I must have been ill because I left all my rings on the bath after I got out of the bath. Came downstairs and I remember speaking to Paul at lunchtime going, I just really don't feel well. I think I might actually go to A&E because I don't feel great. So, and it's not too bad. I can just catch a bus up or get a cab or something to A&E. Yeah. And then I kind of went later on, actually, I can't breathe properly. So, and he's like, ring an ambulance. But it goes against everything you believe in to ring 999. It does.
Yeah.
So I rang them and they said, yeah, but from what you're saying, you can, we're going to send an ambulance and and we will. So they did and they said, do you have any animals? And I said, yeah, I've got dog and I've got, didn't have cats then, did I? But I had a dog. And they said if you could shut the animals out of the way, so we did, and then I sat in the kitchen. And then the longer I sat there, the worse I felt. And I eventually managed to open the front door, because I remember thinking, what if I can't get up and answer the door when they come? So I opened the front door and I was lying on the floor, and I don't know whether I was asleep or whether I was just semi-conscious, but I know that I wasn't with it. And then the next thing I heard is this bloke, and he's going, what are you doing down there? And I went, I can't breathe. And he put this thing in, and he's going, you've got to breathe. And then they put a quick ECG thing on, and whatever was going on there, they were like, right, we need a medic ASAP. So they rang this medic and he came in a car, and we I don't remember exactly what went on, but I do remember that they took me outside, and I remember thinking, maybe it's the fresh air I need, you know, I'm in fresh air and I'm, you know, all that. Put me in an ambulance. Apparently we were out there for a while, but I don't remember that bit either. I remember driving down the road, I remember hearing them say, we're going to King's, putting the sirens on, thinking, the sirens, that's good, you know, I wonder if that's ours. And then I woke up 3 days later.
Yeah.
And basically got taken to King's. By the time I was there, I was in full organ failure, and they put me on life support. And while I was on life support, they diagnosed me with a condition called, I basically had a condition called endocarditis, which is where the fluid attacked my heart, and sepsis. And then when they did all the scans, they discovered I had a condition called hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is where the heart muscle thickens, and that I would have been born with it, but didn't know. And meanwhile, I had a damaged heart valve, and woke up, and they basically said, this is what's wrong, and you're going to need medication and things for the rest of your life, basically.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was at some point, we'll have to replace that valve, but not yet. Went home, rebuilt my life, got stronger. About 6 months later, I relapsed, and ended up in hospital on monumentous amounts of more drugs. And then that was 2017.
Yeah.
And they said, right, we're going to have to look at what point we replace this valve. And then at that point, one of the doctors said to me, at some point, we might think about transplant. And I went, no, we're not going there. Absolutely not. Yeah. No, not
needed.
That. Absolutely not.
And you had a note that said that she was not ready to
talk about it. Yeah. And then eventually, at that point, I was so ill I couldn't walk from my kitchen to my lounge without getting broken. Couldn't walk upstairs. I used to walk upstairs and get to the top, have to sit on the bed for 10 minutes while I got my breath back. And I used to sit there and thinking, if this is going to kill me, it can carry on and do it now. And I'll just reiterate, I never at any point thought about doing anything about that.
Yeah.
But if I was going to die of this, then I'd rather it now than in 10 years' time and live through another 10 years of that. Mm. So I went to a hospital. You could almost do this in more than two.
I was thinking that. We can if you want. Mm. So
so eventually they agreed.
You let me know if that's what you want to do.
Yeah,
we'll
do. Eventually they agreed to put me on the waiting list for a valve replacement. And at that point, we went into hospital. I had a premonition. That I had the operation. I felt completely well. And at that point, I was trying to get to my family. And they couldn't get to me, and I woke up.
You were trying to tell us you were healed, didn't you?
Yeah, and I woke up and I said, I'm going to die. I'm not going to come back from this surgery. And at that point, but you can't ring the hospital and go, I'm not coming in for surgery because I've had a premonition. I mean, they'd laugh you out of the place, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't. So I went in and I said goodbye to all my family, and
as in you
and Nathan, and see you on the flip side.
We stopped saying that, didn't we?
We have, absolutely. See you on the flip side. I'll see you on the other side, knowing in my heart of hearts that I was going to die that day. And walked in.
I mean, did you know more than you were letting on, like, in that sense?
No, I just knew I was going to die.
Because you didn't overly communicate that. You told me about the premonition.
Yeah, I just said that I was going to die. and knew I was going to die. But then in my heart, I mean, it's like, I don't like flying. So the amount of times I've flown on a plane and thought, oh, this plane's going to crash. And I tried to. And then the surgeon came to see me and he said, I'm not going to do this surgery today because I've had a look at your scans and you're not going to survive it.
So
I was vindicated then. And he sent me down for a test to see whether I was suitable for a different procedure. And during that test, because I was so compromised at that point, I basically went into shock and cardiac shock, and my heart rate shot up and my blood pressure shot down. And eventually I crashed and had to be defibrillated and spent 10 days in ICU.
You need to say that there was like a 3 years had passed between...
Oh, yeah, no, this was 2019. This was May 2019.
From when you had that permanent relapse almost. Where you couldn't walk very far.
And at that point, I was spent 10 days in ICU. I eventually came out of ICU, went into high dependency, came out of there, went onto the coronary care ward, woke up one night, was doing quite well out of bed by then, and you know, starting to make thingies, and they said, we are going to do the TOE again next week just to make sure that that you can you might survive it. We'd like to, but we don't know yet. Meanwhile, we're going to do this right heart cath, which is a test where they go and check your lung pressure. We want to see whether or not we could send you down to Papworth for the urgent, super urgent transplant list.
Yeah.
So they did the right heart cath and said your pressures are far too high, to be eligible for transplant.
No.
Papworth said no. What we're going to do is we're going to send you home to die, basically. Mm. We're very, very sorry. And
do you think that's what they meant?
Yeah, that's absolutely what they meant.
Yeah.
And then came George, and we'll tell you all about George later.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then. So I was going to say, listen for heart too.
Yeah.
That is a clue. Right.
Welcome to Audio Mo.
Speak to you soon.
Make some audio every day throughout the month of June. Drop it on your socials with a quick description. Use the hashtag AudioMo so everyone can find it and listen to and leave a nice comment on what you did.